Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
As we promised, the new general manager for the Knicks, Scott Perry, joins us now. So a day of change for the Knicks, and the general manager joins us at the present time. Scott, Mike Francesa on WFAN. Welcome. How are you?
Thank you so much, Mike. It's a pleasure to be on your show. I've been watching you for a number of years, and I just recently saw it at 30 for 30, and just respect the work you've done over the years.
Well, I appreciate
it. My honor.
Thank you. That's very nice of you, and thank you, and welcome to New York.
Thank you.
You know, when this job came up, when you first heard about it, or first heard about being a candidate, what was your thought? What went through your head?
I said to myself, you know, and I go back to almost my childhood, a couple things. New York Knicks, one of the most storied franchises in all of the NBA. A personal goal of mine is to become a general manager in this league. And I said, how great would it be if I was fortunate enough or blessed enough to get that opportunity? So that was kind of my thinking. I was fortunate enough that they reached out to me and showed some interest. And that it worked out. So to get my first opportunity in this role, it's like a dream come true. And I'm just looking forward to the work ahead.
Mills talked about he knew you. How good was your relationship, or how close was your relationship, and how well did you know him?
It was very good. I mean, over the years, you know, when you're on the phone with teams talking about potential trades and other issues that you face in the NBA, you get to know people around the league, and that's how I came to know Steve Mills over time. So you start to develop relationships with people that you felt you can deal with, and then you take that business relationship, and then it extends to more of a friendship, if you will. And so I had always respected him from afar, but over the last number of years, several years, got to know him a lot better. And so it makes this fit and this opportunity that much more special for me, and one that I feel real confident is going to work very well.
Well, I can tell you this, folks, and maybe I don't know if this was touched today, but Scott's father played at Michigan, was an All-America, and was the first black assistant coach in the history of the National Football League. So you come from a family that obviously has had a big impact in sports.
Yes, I'm glad you brought that up. I have, you know, I was raised under that household, and my dad taught me a lot of lessons about this sports world and what it takes to be successful. And I know he would be proud. He's no longer here with us today, but I know he would be proud. Fortunate enough, my mom was able to be here today for this proud moment. And
he was a trailblazer. So you know what?
Yeah.
I mean, you should be very proud of that. What's the best lesson you learned from your dad?
The best it's a number of them, but if I just want to single one out, is treat people the way you would want to be treated yourself. Treat people with great respect, because at the end of the day, that's how you get the most out of your life. You want to leave a legacy. One statement he left with all his kids, and I live by this. He said, you make a living out of what you do, but you make a life out of what you give. And so that's the foundation of who I am as a person, and that probably sticks with me more than anything else that he's shared with us.
Scott, we're talking with Scott Perry, the new general manager of the New York Knicks, who was just introduced a little while ago today. Before we get to the Knicks specifically, Scott, tell me what it takes in this very different NBA right now. What does it take to build, in your mind, a contending team that'll have some consistency and some chances to compete?
Well, I think at every level of your organization, whether it's coaching, players, front office, you name it, there's got to be consistency. There's got to be consistency of thought, consistency of philosophy. There's got to be a oneness, if you will. You can't have I think the sustainable situations that you see, whether it's in the NBA or NFL or baseball, the sustainable ones, that everyone checks their egos at the door, and you're trying to get this thing done together, because these jobs are hard. These, you know, winning is hard in this sport. So you got to be singularly focused. You got to have accountability. You got to be focused on winning. The end of it, I think more teams get lost in getting caught up in individual agendas and losing the focus on what's most important, and that is the team and the organization winning.
Did anything that you had heard about the Knicks give you pause? Anything about their structure? Anything about the way they do business? This has been a struggle for them for many years. Did any of that bother you?
No, it really did not bother me, because I'm a person that makes my own assessments, and so, you know, a lot of times there's a noise out in our in the world, if you will, and in our basketball world, and I felt great comfort and confidence in Steve, and a lot of trust there in Steve and what he was wanting to get accomplished, and what he was looking for from me. And the ability to come in here and help him and help impact some change, and so we're looking forward to doing that. I was very comfortable. I mean, hey, this is New York City. This is the Mecca of basketball, and I just thought it was a tremendous opportunity. And I looked at, like I do most things in my life, I look at the positive aspects. I'm always looking at the cup half full instead of half empty.
Who was your college coach, Dick Harder?
No, Dick Harder had left. Ironically, my graduate assistant was Stu Jackson, who used to work
in
the
NBA. Okay.
And then Jim O'Brien, if you remember Jim O'Brien.
I do.
Was the assistant coach who recruited me. Jim Haney was the head coach when
Jim Haney was the head coach. Okay, because I was thinking early 80s, I'm thinking that you probably, Dick Harder, who's one of the great defensive coaches ever in the league, as you know, and a wonderful coach, but a guy who was there at that time. So you missed Dick Harder, but Oregon early 80s was where you played, right?
Yes, I played there for actually my freshman year, and then I left and went back home, actually, to Wayne State University, and I played there. And I played for a guy by the name of Charlie Parker, who coached in the NBA for a long time.
Absolutely, yeah, know him well. Yeah. So we're talking with Scott Perry, obviously, and went against Oregon, when they had those great Oregon State teams, as a matter of fact, right? That was when they had those great, Ralph Miller had those great Oregon State teams.
But nothing gets past you. You got a great memory for that. They did. They were ranked, and I can remember, they were ranked number four in the country when we played Lester Connor.
Lester Connor, absolutely. Yes.
A.C. Green was a freshman with me. And so they were obviously a very formidable opponent, our rival.
Wearing those high socks. They all wore the high socks.
They wore the high socks.
Absolutely, yeah. We're talking with Scott Perry, the new general manager. Scott, when you look at this roster right now, obviously you got the big man that everyone's been waiting to build around. You have a new point guard who's a rookie. I'll get to him in a second. You have a couple of pieces, and then you have the Anthony situation. Anthony first, what's your thoughts about how to deal with Carmelo right now?
No, I think, look, we got to continue to be in touch with Carmelo and his camp, and look, if there's something there that's going to be mutually beneficial to both teams, then we could look at maybe something that would involve a trade. But also, very much look at the possibility there may not be something there that makes sense for us to move our team forward, and Carmelo would be back, and would look forward to working with him in that capacity. As it relates to the rest of the roster, you mentioned the big fella, and you know, who has a lot of upside and a lot of skill, and I think he's shown that, and time will tell how good he becomes through his own personal work ethic to be in the development program that we continue to put around him. And the other young people that have been drafted, Frank.
Now, you did your work on that point guard the way you did on the others. Now, you took Jaren Fox where you were, and Jaren Fox, I love. I mean, we all wanted him to come here, but it wasn't available. But and this is a lot of terrific point guard draft. Love Fox, I agree. What work had you done? I'm sure you've done a lot on the guy the Knicks took, the youngster they took from Europe. What do you think about him? What's your report on him right now? What can you tell me what you think about him?
Yeah, well, on Neal Akina, look, we were very familiar with him in Sacramento, because there were a couple iterations with us being at the number 5 and number 10 slots going into the draft, there were scenarios where Fox would not be there and we would draft a small forward.
Right.
And then if we drafted a small forward there, we'd be looking heavily at point guard at 10. And,
right.
and Frank was super high on our board. We liked him a lot. We thought that he had good long-term upside, like his length, his smarts, and his potential to grow. So very familiar with him. Did not have the opportunity to meet him in person, but did a lot of homework, a lot of video study on him. We saw him in person and think the guy has some good upside. And
is the offense going to be the last part of his game to come? Is he going to be a defensive, ball-handling, first kind of point guard with the offense coming later?
Well, I think with a lot of young point guards, that's going to be important anyway, defensively. You got to establish yourself defensively. I think that's how any young player, regardless of position, establishes.
Well, it's been a long time since the Knicks had any defensive point, boy, that's for sure.
Well, I'm going to defer to you on that. I'm
saying, I'm telling you. Wait till you go look at some film. You'll see that yourself, okay?
So, but, you know, that's the quickest way for a lot of young players to get on the floor is what they are able to do defensively. When coaches realize that a guy can match up night in and night out, that allows that young player to gain the confidence of the coaching staff and his teammates.
Were you involved at all in the Hardaway thing, or was that before you came?
That was prior to me coming.
Okay.
But, you know, my involvement was when I was in Sacramento. He was somebody that we inquired about, but I like Tim Hardaway.
Yeah, we just think the price is just, I mean, it just seems outrageous how much money he got paid. That, I mean, I don't mind the player. It's just the money. The sticker prices now are insane on these guys.
Yeah, well, I think what you got to look at, and I think everyone watching has to kind of adjust to, you got to look at it in the lens. If you're getting a starting two guard in this league now, and I think if you look across the board at the salaries, where they're headed for starting two guards, it's probably right around the number that Tim got. And so he's 25 years old. He's going to have I think he's entering his prime. So, you know, the bet here is that he's going to make another jump this year from what he had accomplished this past year in Atlanta.
Tell me, we're talking with Scott Perry, the new general manager. Tell me, now, you have a coach in place. You have some players in place. Obviously, it's far from a complete deal here. But what can Knicks fans hope for? What is your vision going forward right now on with what you have, how you expect this team to operate, and what your vision is?
Well, I think most important thing that we can do this season is just compete each and every night. I think Knicks fans, you know, need to expect that we're going to compete, play hard, you know, play together. That's going to be important. That's how you establish a foundation of where you want to go if you want to be good for a long time. So that's first and foremost. Now, we want to compete for every win that we can get. But I can't put a number on what those wins will be this year.
What about style?
Again, I think the style is going to be one that we want to incorporate a lot of guys that have length, athleticism, can play at a fast pace, be able to move the basketball, you know, very team-oriented. I think those will be some of the principal philosophies in how we play.
What do you see when you see Porzingis? Do you see a player that can be a good player, or do you see a player that can be a great player?
Well, I love what his tools are, and I, you know, again, not being around him on a daily basis, I'm going to reserve on what level I think he becomes. But obviously, he does have a lot of tools, a lot of talent, and again, I think the better I get to know him, and really see him work on a day-to-day basis, the better I'll be able to answer that question for you.
What do you want to do with this point guard? Do you want to have a veteran to share the role with? Do you want to bring him along slowly, or do you want to throw him into the deep end of the pool?
No, I think it's very important, no matter how good you may think a prospect is, to have some sort of veteran presence around the point guard. Again, to use a football analogy, if you will, you know, it's like having, you know, a young NFL quarterback. I think the backup quarterback for that or that veteran who's in the locker room every day for that quarterback, it's no different for an NBA point guard. I think he needs to be able to compete with, compete against, and learn from a veteran who's kind of been there and done that. That will help him develop at the pace that he needs to develop. You don't want your guys to skip any steps, but so that's really my philosophy on that.
Do you want? I mean, are you stressing? Do you want this team to be defensive minded? Do you want a team that is defense important, or in this league, have you gotten away like a lot of people have from defense?
No, I think defense is very important when it comes. You're talking about winning the championship ultimately. I mean, what gets lost in all the great shooting that goes on out of Golden State is they're the number one or two ranked defensive team.
They're a good defensive team, absolutely.
So
they have some really good defensive players, especially Thompson and Iguodala, very good defensive players.
Absolutely. So I think when you're talking about, you know, developing an identity and foundation, you got to be able to defend. And then, yeah, we know we're going to need scorers and shooters and all of that. But again, when it gets down to playoff time, and this is one thing I've had to experience in all those years I was in Detroit, we were the top defensive team for a number of years there, and that's why we went to six straight conference finals and were able to win the championship, because it was built defensively first, and we grew from there.
No question. Talking about the championship you won with Larry Brown. That's the one you're talking about, right?
Yeah, when Larry was the coach and Joe Dumars was the president.
Yeah, absolutely. Was Joe the one who brought you to Detroit?
Absolutely. I owe Joe Dumars an awful lot.
Joe's an old favorite of mine for many years. I know him since college days. One of the real standout, solid guys in sports. It absolutely is.
There's no question about it, and very knowledgeable. And he and I remain in very close contact to this day, and I've learned a ton from him, and just really appreciate him, too.
Who was the biggest influence on you in your career so far, Scott? I mean, as far as basketball goes, is there one guy that really has been a big influence on you?
I would say that Joe would hold that role probably the most, especially since I've been into the NBA and going into my 18th year. I would say he holds that title for me, if you will. But I've had a number of people that I've encountered throughout my coaching career. You know, Steve Fisher, who I work with at Michigan, I learned a great deal from him. And then, you know, again, coming into the NBA, we had a great staff in Detroit. John Hammond, who went on to be a general manager at Milwaukee and was now in Orlando, great friend, you know, learned a lot from him as well. So I've been fortunate enough to be around some very, you know, highly successful basketball people to learn from, but then add to what, you know, what my own knowledge base was.
This is a very frustrated fan base. Here's the amazing thing, as you know. First of all, it's still Madison Square Garden, which means a lot. Secondly, it's always full. It's full no matter how many games they win. It's always full. It's always full. The fans are always into it. It's amazing no matter what's going on the floor, but they are very depressed fans. They have been waiting a long time. What's your message to those fans now?
Well, I just want them, obviously, to keep coming out, keep supporting us, and keep and for them to expect to see a continuity, a vision begin to play out on this floor, and ultimately a team that will make them proud. So as they continue to come into those stands, then they're not just coming in just to kind of observe a game, but they're coming in there to support a team that's ultimately going to win.
Is there a kind of player that you're partial to? Is there a player that kind of fits you and what you believe in more than another kind of player?
Well, I mean, I think, talent obviously is important, but I think character is important. Those guys who have been a part of winning at one point in their careers, I think that's very important. In today's game, you know, length, athleticism, they're going to be important, physical attributes that you look for. But I'm a big intangibles guy. And, again, guys who have won, guys who have had some toughness, guys who understand a little bit about sacrifice, I think that's very important when you're talking about establishing a winning team.
Is the Anthony decision the first thing that you feel you have to get rectified here one way or the other?
Well, there's no real timetable yet. I mean, obviously, that's something that we're going to continue to monitor and work through on a daily basis, you know, but we have some time prior to the start of the season. And at the end of the day, I just rest assured that we're going to make the decision that's going to be best and benefit this team moving forward.
Have you seen a better point guard crop than the one that came out this year?
Oh, I may defer to you on that, Mike.
It's a pretty good
like
one.
About the history, because
this is a pretty good one, though. There's
it's very good, and again, it's early. I mean, a lot of those guys played terrific in summer league. you know, I expect that they will still play well when they go into their rookie seasons and the regular season, and let's, you know, give them a couple of years to really pan out. But coming in the door, you can't help but really love the talent base that a number of these young men have shown, and it'll be exciting for the league to watch, and hopefully, you know, we'll have one of those guys in our midst.
Well, listen, good luck. Welcome to New York. Good luck. Obviously, there's a lot of work to be done, so good luck, and we'll talk to you along the way. Thank you very much for coming on the show.
Oh, thank you so much.
My pleasure. Scott Perry, the general manager of the Knicks, back after this.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.